Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad you are with us. And if you're like me, and I think most other people right now, you're probably scratching your head wondering exactly what has transpired, especially over the last 24 hours or less. But I began the week wondering, would the coronavirus affect sports? And it seemed inevitable at some point in some way that it did. And as the hours went on this week, and very quickly, I might add, we found out exactly how much it's going to affect sports. And then, of course, you wonder about long beyond sports and the upcoming weeks and months, and not just here in America, but across the world as well. What will this thing be like, and what type of damage will it do, not only to humans, but economies and other things? And will this be something that is somewhat overblown? It's hard to say that right now when you see cases of NBA players. In fact, just before we came on the air minutes ago, another NBA player, another member of the Utah Jazz, Donovan Mitchell, teammate of Rudy Gobert, who last night did test positive for the virus, has been the second confirmed case from the Jazz and in the NBA, who, of course, last night made an announcement they are suspending, at least for a hiatus, the 2019-2020 NBA season, which I think kind of really, if you didn't get that the NCAA announcement yesterday that that tournament, at least for now, would go on with no fans, and that Big Ten conference tournaments and other conferences, at least the major conferences, would go on after last night but without no fans, if that didn't get your attention, the NBA shutting it down essentially for what's been reported is as little as 2 weeks or perhaps even longer, depending on how things go, that had to get everyone's attention last night. And it seems like since that point, whether it's been something with an athlete or in the world of sports or something with Tom Hanks announcing last night in Australia that he has contracted the coronavirus, just something almost every hour, it seems, that has been driven by this virus and by this horrible situation that, again, the world, it's not just us here, but the world currently finds itself in. So this is probably going to be different from any show that I've ever done, and let's hope it's different from any that we ever do again, although this is something clearly we're going to be talking about for the foreseeable future and all the different things it could affect in sports, both immediately and perhaps even throughout the spring. There's a lot of unknown about how long this thing could go on as far as how long delays and suspension of games will be necessary. Both, we're talking college basketball right now. We're talking NBA basketball, and we're going to get into some high school stuff because it's this weekend and the next 2 weekends beyond this Saturday. But will it affect spring sports with high school athletes? Will it affect spring sports at our local universities, college baseball, other sports that some of these kids have worked and prepared hard for all season long? So interesting times, scary times, I think it's safe to say, and glad you're with us today. But lots to get to. In fact, I do want to tell you before we get further, at the end of the show today, we were going to go to Kentucky's Girls Sweet 16 tournament and pick up the 7th region game. I believe that's Sacred Heart playing at noon. We'll get there eventually, but first, at noon, once this show ends, we are going to pick up the Indiana High School Athletic Association's press conference. They announced just earlier this morning that they are holding a noon press conference to discuss what they wrote was plans for this weekend's IHSA boys basketball tournament, and also I believe the state gymnastics finals are this weekend, I believe, in Newcastle as well. So more on that, because we've got four teams and four coaches here locally that, yes, this thing is bigger than basketball and bigger than sports, but can you imagine being on a team preparing for this weekend, unsure of how it's going to go? Are fans going to be allowed in? Will the games be played? Will we be able to broadcast from Washington and Seymour on Saturday? We await those answers, and we think that at least for now, because things are very fluid and changing as we're finding out, at least for now, we think at noon at that press conference, we'll find out a lot more, at least about high school basketball and the tournament that's forthcoming, the regionals, semi-states, and maybe state finals coming up very soon. But again, something that's announced at noon on Thursday may not necessarily be the same at noon on Friday or Friday evening in advance of Saturday's games, with how quickly things are changing. Let's be honest, if a case or multiple cases or all of a sudden a number of cases in Indiana are found, it's only the health officials in our state, the governor in our state, and of course local health officials as well, with their recommendation or essentially action from the government, there could be nothing on Saturday. So you just never know. Let's hope that that's not the case. Let's hope that the kids get to play. I'm all for continuing on. I have been on the side of an organizer. Obviously, never anything like a state tournament for high school sports or a conference tournament with all the money and sponsorships at that level on the line, and definitely not the NCAA. But I've organized a number of events, public events, over the years, and you got to be detailed to pull them off, number one, and that's if everything goes your way. But in something like this, gosh, you've got to take all the precautions that you absolutely have to. And I've got to tell you, I can side with people that say there's no way, and I'm talking about, you know, maybe a commissioner of a league or commissioner of an IHSA or even Mark Emmert from the NCAA, delaying things. You think, well, that's the easy answer. Let's just delay this a couple of weeks or even a month to get through the hot spot of this. Well, who knows that the hot spot is happening now or next week? Who knows that? Who's for sure the hot spot won't happen a month or 2 months from now, number one. But also, you delay things. You think it's no big deal. Obviously, if you're a fan of a school or you've got a kid on the team, you want them to play. You want it to be a great experience. But when you delay things, even a day, even a week, you don't often realize the other things that that affects and all the sideline things about travel and hotels and facilities and other things that you just don't think of. And I'm not even thinking of all of them because I have no clue. Everything that goes into some of these humongous events that are we're talking about being canceled or being changed or being postponed or being played without fans. So just a very interesting time. Lots of people in our country right now, in sports, in public life, in events, in concerts, have some big decisions to make. And it looks like, ladies and gentlemen, that a great number of decisions being made are to not have the events at all. We'll see if the conference tournaments continue to be played today without fans or with limited fans in the buildings. I know that Rick Bozich, I was following him on Twitter just before we came on, reading a couple last-minute things, and the ACC had a press conference this morning, just now, that they are going to continue on as scheduled, at least for now, with the ACC tournament with limited fans there. A lot of people calling that decision reckless. A lot of people think that it should be shut down. I saw Tom Izzo had a quote earlier that was circulating that he thought maybe it would be best to shut things down. And other people, Charles Barkley, shut it down. Do the right thing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. If I'm a betting man, in my opinion, I just can't see how the NCAA tournament gets played right now. I really can't. But again, we'll see. Maybe without fans, without 20,000 people in some of these facilities, maybe there's still the ability for it to happen. But when players, like NBA players too now, are officially to have the virus, there have been some overseas, I think it was maybe soccer, female soccer players, male soccer players that have the virus. You've got to wonder how long is it until a college basketball player contracts it? And when that happens and it's in the tournament, you've got quarantine periods. How in the world do you have a tournament if even the victorious team is in quarantine, so they can't spread it to the team they play in the next round? So lots of interesting questions and things that I can tell you I've never thought about. Let's hope that other health professionals and folks in our government and country have thought about some of these things, as I'm sure that they have and planned for maybe for years. But definitely a very interesting day. Definitely a little scary day, as I said, a little sad day, because this is what we work up to in our state, in the Midwest, in parts of the country all year long. March Madness, you know, high school basketball, it's what our state's known for. This is an opportunity for little towns to make money, to host great crowds, to be part of memories and last-second shots and championships that'll last a lifetime. And, of course, at the college level, it's what we all live for, to see, you know, we watch college games, whether Indiana local team's in it or not, we love it. But that's obviously affected in a major way right now, and I think the potential is there, as do many others, for it to not be played at all. So odd conversations to be had on this program today. Very odd evening last night. I can't say that word odd and scary and concerning enough, but to watch the Big Ten tournament, I was so disappointed, and we haven't even got to we're 11, 12 minutes into the show. We haven't even got to Indiana's performance last night, but we will. But I was so disgruntled early on with, you know, IU's performance, and Nebraska had some momentum. And, you know, you felt like the second half, you felt like Indiana was the better team. You know they're the better team. You felt like the second half it would go better for the Hoosiers, and they would put it all together, and never concerned they wouldn't win the game. But, you know, there were some frustrating moments early. But I tell you what, as the game turned in the second half, really it was the close of the first half with like a 16-1 run by Indiana. But as the tide turned greatly in the second half and Indiana went up by 20-something points, by that point I wasn't necessarily glued to the television. I was getting phone calls and looking on Twitter and reading stories, and had another television on with an announcement from the NBA and trying to follow that as well. And all of a sudden – you look back and, hey, Indiana's going to win. They're going to advance. They're winning easy, playing pretty good against a lackluster team. But then the question is, will there be a game to advance to tomorrow, which is just an odd feeling. And, again, this isn't just me. This is all of us. And I can only imagine the coaches and the players as well, who, especially in the IU game, may have had no idea about the NBA situation. During the game, obviously, and we're told that after the game by Coach Archie Miller. He mentioned that in his press conference. So, odd time, no question about it. Let's talk about what we are going to do here on the show today, and obviously this is going to affect everything that we talk about, from high school basketball all the way to the NCAA tournament. But on today's show, coming up here in the next segment, our guest lineup here by Honey-Baked Ham in New Albany, we'll have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He will be with us in segment number two today. When Alex joins us, we're going to talk about Indiana's game last night. Yes, we're going to talk about that. Some of the performances. We're going to talk about the Penn State game as if it will be played as scheduled right now. So stay with us. We will talk about that coming up here in just a bit. And, of course, with Alex, we'll talk about, does he think the Big Ten tournament, it's still on right now with no fans, does he think it continues? Does he think it should continue? Those are things that we'll talk with Alex Bozich about coming up a little bit later in the program. Then, later in the hour today, Steve Kerberg, the coach of Christian Academy, joins me. We'll talk some high school hoops with Steve. Of course, his team is scheduled to play in the Ligoti 1A Regional on Saturday. They open against Northeast Dubois. That should be a competitive game. Christian Academy obviously eyeing to get to the championship. And if they do so, very likely they would play Bar Reeve, who just is an amazing 1A program that would be a big challenge, but maybe a doable challenge for a very good and well-challenged Christian Academy team in the regular season that took on a very aggressive schedule. So we'll talk with Steve, and then Steve's great to talk to about the area as well. I know that in addition to his team, he's tried to keep an eye on some of the other local teams, Providence and Silver Creek, and of course Floyd Central and 4A that are moving on as well. And we'll talk to Steve about what it's been like as a coach this week to prepare for a tournament, especially yesterday when all this stuff starts hitting reality that Okay, college is going to be changed. Professional basketball suspended. Will college get canceled permanently this season as far as the tournament goes? And what's that mean for high school? And so we'll get Steve's input on that as well, something that I did not intend to have to talk to our high school coaches about this week, but that's how things are going at this rate. The show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. They've got a new special offer that they want to put out there today. Pick up dinner tonight from Honey Baked Ham on your way home. They are offering some in-store specials for a very quick meal tonight. You've got maybe basketball going on, maybe not. Maybe you just don't feel like cooking, but stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. They've got some specials, again, special offers for a very quick and good meal for you tonight from Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, who brings us the show lineup each day here on the program. All right, we're going to head to a commercial break. When we come back, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us. Alex was at the IU-Nebraska game last night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. I haven't even talked about the game much. I haven't even talked about the Nebraska situation much. Coach Hoiberg, visibly sick during the game. What a time to be visibly sick. You could have the sniffles or you could have any sort of illness, but right now, as soon as someone coughs, if you're like me, you think, gosh, I hope that, you know, that's just where our minds go right now. But the Nebraska team basically, I hate to use the word quarantined, but kept in the locker room after the game. Their meal was brought to the locker room after the game. Just a crazy situation. It's since come out that Coach Hoiberg of Nebraska does have the flu. It's not the coronavirus strain of the flu, but glad to know that he's hopefully getting better. He was released from the hospital. But it is kind of a crazy decision for him to coach. I'm sure that as a coach, you think you got to be there in your conference game, probably the only chance you have to win with key players missing and football players have been added to the roster. Just crazy. But we'll talk about that as well. It's crazy right now all the way around. If you can't tell, this has been the craziest topics in the opening segment that I've ever had to talk about and probably ever will. But that's just where we're at right now. Stay with us. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall ahead. Also, Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy. IHSA press conference coming up at noon. Stay with us. We'll be back. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And back here on this Thursday program, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is with us on what has just been really a surreal 24 hours or so, not just in the sports world, but in our country and in health and in concerns and just a crazy time. Don't forget, coming up at noon, I'll send you to the IHSA press conference. We expect to learn more about what's going to happen with the IHSA regionals and maybe beyond the semi-states and state finals. But I would just bank on learning more about the regional round at this point when we go to that press conference. One other thing I want to say before we get to Alex, just kind of catching up on Twitter here for a second. Again, Utah Jazz star, former U of L player Donovan Mitchell reportedly test positive for the coronavirus, which obviously there's a link there with Rudy Gobert last night, that news coming out before that game, right before that game, when the NBA then followed that up with basically a hiatus, a shutdown for now. And ACC conference with a press conference just a little bit ago, Rick Bozich tweeting from there that they are saying the conference tournament there at the ACC will continue with limited fans as scheduled for today. I just see John Rothstein at the very top of my Twitter feed. The Sun Belt Conference Tournament in New Orleans, it will be held moving forward with limited attendance per a press release that just came out. So, Alex, my question to you is, it seems like so far at least, college basketball conference tournaments most are continuing, and I believe everything I've seen means a continuance with limited fans starting today. There was a point last night with everything that was breaking and with NBA going to a hiatus, at least temporarily, that I thought there would be no way we would have college basketball today. Do we have Big Ten games coming up here in just a bit?
It looks like right now the plan is to play the games. You'll have to excuse me too, Matt. I'm battling a little bit of a cold, so if I cough, I apologize in advance. But, yeah, it's been a, as you said, it's been a surreal, really last couple days. Just it's really a story that goes beyond sports. I don't pretend to know the ins and outs of any of it. I don't think that, you know, what we do for a living talking about sports is so inconsequential to this whole situation. And I just hope that eventually we'll get back to the point where we can focus on the games. But that time doesn't seem to be right now. But in terms of what's going to be happening today, right now, the latest information that I have and have not been told any differently is that, you know, the Big Ten tournament will be played today, four games, no fans in attendance, limited. I think some families can go, credentialed media members. I will not be there. I didn't go last night. I just didn't think it was appropriate for us to have three people at the game. And the students that write for me, Cam Drummond and Dylan Wallace, had been wanting to go and obviously decided to go and cover the game. But it's just a crazy situation, I think. In general, to even think about. It's hard to keep up with everything that's coming out via social media. And right now, I think the big thing that a lot of people are talking about is, you know, you see the NBA suspending its season, and the NCAA says right now that the tournament is going to continue. I just wonder how long it's going to be. That's going to be the case and kind of what eventually happens here, because it just seems like things have changed so quickly that there's going to be more twists and turns as we go along.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's my guest. We're talking about this crazy 24-hour or so period. Again, many conference tournaments all so far. I have not seen one say it's canceled. Have you, Alex, seen any that have canceled or just completely said we're done here so far?
I mean, only the Ivy League, but that was before, right. You know, everything. And that was, what, 36 hours ago, right. And everyone thought they were crazy. And now it doesn't seem like they were so crazy, right?
Absolutely. But I agree with you, kind of following up on what you said. And I watched a video interview with Jay Billis earlier. When the professional teams are not playing, how does it look good? How is it right for colleges to go on? These are amateurs. And then taking that step even further – no, not knowing exactly or not knowing anything about what the IHSA is going to announce at noon in their press conference about the boys' basketball regionals and state tournament as a whole. But taking it a step further, you know, if professionals aren't playing, college still play, high school still play, that's just kind of odd, don't you think?
Definitely. I think everyone at this time has their opinions on the, you know, I'm getting a lot of people tweeting things back at me, telling me that I'm wrong. And, you know, I haven't really explicitly stated my opinion. I've retweeted some things. I just think from an optic standpoint, everything that the NCAA has battled, you know, in its recent history, from not paying players to the recruiting scandals, this just seems like, you know, if this continues down the path that it's going on, this seems like this is a decision that could haunt them for a long time if they don't handle it correctly. And if they don't err on the side of caution and, you know, there's something that happens that maybe that is unfortunate, you know, it doesn't seem like, based on the information that we have, that young, healthy people are being affected by this in terms of mortality rate and things like that. But at the same time, I think the fear of the unknown is what has everybody kind of on edge. And I just think in this situation, there's going to be a lot of tough questions asked of the NCAA if they do continue with the tournament when you have a situation like I just saw the MLS also just suspended all of their play. I mean, these are leagues with millions of dollars on the line, billions in the case of the NBA. So it's just a odd situation that we've never seen before. So it's hard to really know what to say or what the right answer is.
And, Alex, I know you're battling a cold right now. If you need to take a break, just let me know. But I'm seeing
no, I'm good.
I'm seeing a tweet here now. I know I've had so many questions this morning from high school fans, because we have four local teams that are headed to regionals in southwestern Indiana on Saturday. You know, what's going to happen? What's, you know, you got any scoop on what's going to happen at the noon press conference? And obviously I don't, but I did see where Wisconsin just announced that their girls and boys state tournaments are still on, but with significantly limited attendance, which is families and other immediate family members and things of that nature. So it does look like across the landscape, at least right now, that college tournaments are continuing today with limited attendance. And so far, I have not seen a high school state tournament or finals canceled. So very interesting things to consider. Alex, I do want to get into the game a little bit last night. I know that the first half, I still was fairly focused. I think as focused as we all can be when there's a big sideline event going on that obviously is more important than sports, as we've discussed. Second half, I've got to tell you, my attention was drawn away to the phone, to the NBA stuff. Really almost, I don't want to say a panic, but a real concern for our life and for our entertainment and things like that. When you have players that you watch and you like that, you know, either have been affected or could have been affected by this coronavirus. But Indiana, a little on their performance last night at least. What a close to the first half by this Indiana team. I think it was a 16-1 run. They kind of went back and forth with Nebraska early for a good part of the first half of play. Obviously a Nebraska team that had its own problems with its roster and even with its coach ill last night. But Indiana really made a change in the game with the way they closed the first half.
Yeah, it seemed like to me early on Nebraska was really operating on kind of adrenaline and, you know, just kind of being able to keep up for those reasons. But they're late in the first half. I think it really caught up to them only having seven scholarship players and their talent deficiencies. And Indiana was able to seize control of the game and really just dominate them from that point on. I think it only got as close as nine in the second half, but Indiana just a better team, obviously. Beat Nebraska twice during the regular season, and then I thought, you know, after that shaky start that they had, just completely dominated the game. It was good from an IU perspective to see them play that well. I thought Armon Franklin was really good, as well as Trace Jackson Davis, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, assuming that the games go on tonight, how they're able to kind of bounce back after that, how they'll adapt to what's going to be an interesting environment. I'd say most of these guys haven't played too many games in front of no crowd, going back to probably what, middle school is probably the last time a lot of these guys that are high-level players played in front of no fans, besides close scrimmages and exhibition type stuff. I mean, I know the kids that grow up in Indiana, they play in front of fans every night, regardless of what class that they're in. So it'll be interesting to me just to kind of see how it changes the game tonight and how teams adapt to it. I think there's going to be a lot. There's obviously a lot of distractions going on off the court. I think it's going to be the teams that are able to focus in and build momentum without relying on the crowd that are most successful. So I think it's going to be an interesting challenge for Indiana tonight against Penn State.
Alex Bozich inside the hall with me here on this Thursday edition of the program. I didn't think about this. You touched it and touched on this in your answer. I didn't think about this until last night after the game, kind of just mind spinning with all the news we had just gotten about NBA and potential for maybe this thing being canceled all the way around at the college level. They were interviewing Trace Jackson Davis on the Big Ten Network, which was ended up being, I think, the only post-game opportunity we got last night to hear from an IU player. Archie Miller did the press conference, and understandably the team, especially with what was going on with Nebraska and their coach and unknown what his illness was, they wanted to get back to the hotel, which makes sense. But Trace said that he was asked about how weird will it be to play in this building, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, without any fans. And he said, well, you know, it'll be different. And I'm paraphrasing here. We won't have the fans to help get us going. So the coaches and the players, the bench, will really have to help us get going. But he mentioned that the team had played there and they've played a closed exhibition game there earlier. And so you got to wonder, I know that that's something back in October when that closed scrimmage, secret scrimmage, as we like to call them, was played. who would have thought that maybe that gave Indiana a chance to play in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where the Big Ten tournament would be played at, without fans there, which is essentially what's going to happen today. Not many fans there. Kind of crazy to think about. But Indiana has been in that situation this not this calendar year, but this 2019-2020 season in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, I would say with obviously less people than what will be in the gym today, because in addition to players, coaches, team personnel, you're going to have media and you're going to have limited fans, I believe. Is that correct at the Big Ten? Limited parents, immediate family parents, or am I wrong there?
Yeah, that's. I think it's immediate family. So, I mean, and like essential, team staff, university officials that need to be there. So I wouldn't imagine it's going to be more than a couple hundred people total. I mean, there's obviously event staff that has to be there in some capacity, but I wouldn't assume that there's going to be that many people in the concourse or anything like that, because, you know, there's no general fans, there's no concession sales or anything like that. So it's mainly just going to be people that are related to the players, people that have are there on official business for the universities, obviously people that are there working for TV. If they're going to broadcast the games, the TV people have to be there, not only the, you know, the announcers, but the production people, and then the media that's credentialed. That's it. I mean, it's going to be interesting. If this continues to the NCAA tournament, are they going to adjust the venues that they play in? There's no reason to play, like, for example, the Final Four in a 60,000-seat arena if there's going to be no fans there to watch it. There's a lot of logistical things, I think, that are going to have to be taken care of if basketball is going to be played here the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely, absolutely, no question about it. I can only imagine what life has been like the last 24 hours or so for organizers, NCAA, Big Ten. And then, of course, you don't feel so sorry for them when you think about Italy or countries overseas, China, where you think about the doctors and the nurses that have been overwhelmed. So we got to keep all this in perspective, I know, as we move forward. Mm-hmm. I do want to read this tweet. Rob Doster of CBS Sports just tweeted this out. This is just crazy stuff. The tip between Akron and Ohio, which I believe is the MAC conference, which is being played with limited fans and maybe even no fans. I can't remember each conference and their actual ruling on who can be there and who can't. Obviously, nothing is open to the general public at this point. The tip between Akron and Ohio has been delayed by an hour to 1:03 p.m., I've been told. According to a source, the players and staff are being temperature tested. That is just amazing, but that might be something that, we saw pictures of people getting off of airplanes with those thermal thermometers testing people and their temperature. That might be something that we see or that goes on at some of these conference tournaments today.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about all this, Matt, and I'd be kind of curious to hear your thoughts too, because it's, you know, the ACC commissioner gave a press conference this morning, and he I don't know if you had a chance to listen to any of it, because I know you were probably getting ready for your show, and maybe some of it even spilled into your show starting, but he was very somber, he was very shaken, and he was asked a pretty pointed question about kind of what's the difference between what the NBA has done here and what you guys are doing, and basically, I don't think he had a great answer, but someone kind of followed up and asked him, you know, is it you know, are you just waiting for somebody to test positive to call things off? And he didn't really have a clear answer if it was better to do it proactively or wait for somebody to potentially test positive. I think the interesting thing to follow on this is going to be, you know, if one player tests positive, do they shut it all down? Because that's what the NBA did. And I just don't know. There's no playbook on how to handle something like this, right? So all these decisions are going to be scrutinized. People are just going to have to do their best to try to make the right decision. But, it's just hard for me to wrap my head around continuing to play games with amateur athletes when professionals who do this for a living and make tens of millions of dollars, as, you know, their leagues have stopped playing. It's just... I don't know. Hard for me to wrap my head around and get a firm understanding. I know everyone has entitled to their opinion and has their own takes on it, but it's just I don't know. I'm kind of speechless when I try to think about, you know, what the right thing to do is, because I don't think any of us have the answer. And maybe there'll be more clarity in the coming days and the coming weeks, and we have a better understanding of everything. But it's just something I'm thinking back in my life in terms of things that have happened, and I can't, you know, there's probably a handful of other moments where I've thought of things that I didn't really have a clear answer from, and this is definitely one of them.
Yeah, Jeff Goodman, adding on to what I just read there from the MAC tournament, that they cleared the court, they're making every player staff get temperatures checked and cleared by team doctor before game starts, a source told Jeff Goodman.
Wow.
If someone has a temperature, further testing will be done. And tip-off in that MAC, I believe it's the opener there, obviously, is now moved to 1:03 p.m. today, a little bit later in the afternoon. So, man, just crazy times. Alex, I struggle to ask you basketball questions because with everything mm-hmm. going on, it almost just doesn't seem right to talk about. But I don't want to completely forget about it, because as of now, Indiana
yep.
is scheduled to take on Penn State. And, in fact, I saw Brendan Quinn, who's someone that we both know and have had on this show before to talk Michigan and Michigan State. He tweets, for what it's worth, based on a few conversation, I'm under the impression that it's still possible games scheduled today get called off at some point during or between. And again, he's writing from or about the Big Ten Conference tournament. But as it stands, Indiana and Penn State are set to do battle tonight, with the winner moving on to Friday and the opportunity mm-hmm. to play Maryland. Let's talk a little bit about an Indiana-Penn State game for the third time this season.
Yeah, Penn State is obviously struggling right now. They've lost 5 of 6. So for Indiana, this is a on paper a good matchup. Penn State's kind of limping to the finish line here after they got ranked up to number 6. They are number 9, actually. They lost 5 of 6. So I think from an IU perspective, they've got a lot of familiarity. They played this team twice. They played them recently, beat them at home. Not a great shooting team. They've obviously got Myron Jones back, but he's played his last 3 games, only scored a total of 22 points. You know, he missed 6 games with an undisclosed illness, so he's their second best player beyond Lamar Stevens. But it really comes down to, like I said, I think this game is more or less going to come down to which team can kind of create their own momentum and energy, because this is not just, it's not going to be, we're going to see how much impact crowds have on basketball games. Even at something like the NCAA tournament, when maybe you have, a small section of your fans there, but there's a lot of other fans there who, whatever reason, you know, they'll cheer for a team, they'll get behind a team. They're not going to have any of that. So, to me, it's going to come down to which team is able to kind of channel their own energy and go out there and play hard and not be distracted by everything going on outside of the gym and outside in the world that surrounds us. And that's a tough ask right now for young people, because social media is such a powerful force right now in our news cycle. It's impossible for these guys to ignore kind of what's being said, what's being written. And obviously there's just a lot for them to process. So we'll see how it goes. But I think for Indiana, in terms of how teams are playing, Indiana's been playing better than Penn State as of late, and it should be a game. I think the point spread's 2.5 points. It should definitely be a game that's winnable for Indiana.
Alex, looking at Indiana's performance last night, especially to close the first half and in the second half as well, and then looking at recent games to close the regular season, I know the Wisconsin game was not a victory, but Indiana did play fairly well. They had opportunity there, let it get away from them in the second half of that game. How do you feel Indiana is playing? I've been under the impression the last few weeks, and you could add on last night's contest, obviously, against lackluster Nebraska, but how do you feel this Indiana team is playing at typically the most important time of the year that you want to play well?
Hey, man, I hate to interrupt you, but the Big Ten just sent out a statement that the remainder of the men's basketball tournament is canceled effective immediately. So,
wow,
amazing. There's some breaking news for you.
So absolutely.
I'm actually going to have to
yep.
hop off here and
yep.
get to work on this, but I appreciate the time today and have a great rest of your day.
Understand. There you have it. Breaking news. The Big Ten tournament canceled moving forward. Just an amazing. You thought it was coming today. You wondered when it would be announced. Some of the other conferences have said they're going to push ahead, but the Big Ten making an announcement and a jump in front of many of the others that their games will be canceled. Just absolutely amazing. And I can't say I disagree. As tough as it is, you'd like to see games continue and have something positive to watch and talk about, but tough decisions being made across, again, the sports landscape, but much more than sports today, and of course across the world, really, when it comes to this coronavirus. We'll head to a commercial break. Thanks to Alex for joining us. He's had a cold. He's obviously very busy, and then getting some breaking news. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Steve Kerberg. Steve's the coach of Christian Academy of Indiana. His team's set to play in the regional on Saturday. Will that regional go on? We think we'll find out more at noon from the IHSA about that. But we'll talk with Steve about his team and about how he's preparing for this potential regional on Saturday in these crazy conditions right now. We'll have that and more coming up. IHSA press conference at noon. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back here. Matt Dennison with you. Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy. He joins the program here in just a couple moments. But first, as you can imagine, it's just this ever-changing landscape right now with lots of announcements, lots of cancellations. We told you going to break that the Big Ten tournament has been canceled. Jeff Goodman of Stadium tweeting that presidents voted unanimously to cancel the Big Ten tournament. And then here's the statement from the Big Ten. It reads, quote, "The Big Ten Conference announced today that it will be canceling the remainder of the Big Ten men's basketball tournament effective immediately. The Big Ten Conference will use this time to work with the appropriate medical experts and institutional leadership to determine next steps for moving forward in regard to the COVID-19 pandemic. The main priority of the Big Ten Conference continues to be the health, safety, and wellness of our student-athletes, coaches, administrators, fans, and media as we continue to monitor all developing and relevant information on the COVID-19 virus." Just amazing stuff right now. Crazy, right? Crazy times in this world. Spring football canceled at Bloomington. That game has been canceled at this time. That came out just earlier here within the hour since we've been on the air. And going down to our friends in Kentucky, they are moving forward today, as of now. You got to say that, as of this hour, as of this minute, with the KHSA Girls Sweet 16. In fact, we're going to have some coverage of Sacred Heart there coming up here in just a bit on the Big X after the IHSA press conference. But they have really limited who can come today. Looks like an extreme limit, they're calling it, on who can attend. Schools limited to players listed on postseason roster. Each player has four family members get tickets for each player. Tickets will be assigned and seating will be separated with several empty rows, is what was tweeted out by Jason Frakes of the Courier-Journal, who is down in Lexington covering the tournament. And again, I'll tell you about Kentucky and some of these other states because we are waiting for a noon press conference that we will get to immediately when we know that that's live in Indianapolis, and we expect to find out a lot more about what will happen with the regional tournament this weekend. Again, that's going to be played for our local teams at four different locations here in Southern Indiana, at least for Clark and Floyd County teams on where they are headed. Steve Kerberg is my guest. Steve, I had lots of plans to talk to you all about your week of preparation and what the regional field's like and you know, what an accomplishment this is for your program. But unfortunately, we've got to start with some negative stuff, and it's just a crazy time in our sports world and really in the world in general.
Absolutely. Things are happening so fast, and it's difficult to keep up with all of it. I think for a coach, tournament week is difficult enough with all of the distractions and details and plans and trying to just prepare for a weekend trip and for one, possibly two opponents, and then there's a lot else going on right now. So we'll know more here at noon when the IHSAA has their press conference.
Let me ask you, Steve, you're coaching young men in high school. You've got some seniors. In fact, you've got a lot of seniors that have worked up to this. What do you tell them in a time where there's some unknown about, will the game be played? Will my parents be able to come? Will fans be there like normal? And, of course, all around this, you've got questions about the NBA and the NCAA, and we're getting some answers now about that, not all. But what's the message been to your team when you talk to them after practice or when you get a text from one of them about what this Saturday could look like?
Well, again, it's happening so fast. A lot of this has happened since practice ended yesterday. So we'll probably talk a lot more about it today. But I think it's a leader's job to keep the team focused on the task at hand and control only what we can control. And that's not easy. But, you know, that just speaks to leadership. I think about all the people that have to make tough decisions this week and things that are getting canceled. And it's leadership is a tough position to be in a lot of situations, and I don't envy that on the bigger scale, because it impacts a lot of people's lives when you make these decisions and choices. So, we'll discuss that today, you know, during and after practice. But we, unless something drastically changes in the next few minutes, we have to have our focus on Northeast Du Bois and hopefully beyond.
Let me ask you, Coach Kerberg, you're no stranger to the game of basketball, player, coach. You've been around it many different ways. How odd would it be if you had to coach a regional game Saturday morning in a gym where nobody was there, just your team and the opposing team and the officials that were required to play the game?
It would be odd in the tournament setting for sure. I think these players would be fine with it, with smaller crowds, maybe at a summer game or an AAU game or some scrimmages that we have. I think they would adjust just fine. And I think our group kind of prides themselves on getting after it in practice every day, and we don't have fans there either. So it's it would be odd to especially, you know, I think of teams that travel so well. Barre, for example, in our regional, they bring, I would not be exaggerating when I say they bring 2,500 fans or more to regional. So I think, you never know how it would impact a team, but I think the kids will adjust just fine. Kids are very, very tough, and they adjust. And it'll bring an interesting dynamic for sure to the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy, my guest. Coach, I think it's still appropriate to talk about your team and the success that they've had this season. I know the sectional was a big challenge for you guys. You went in as the front runner. You definitely had the target marked on your back, and many people, even from the beginning of the year, including myself, had said, you know, this is a team that is the front runner, that can get it done, that can make a run in the tournament, and you guys got it done, but it wasn't easy. Lanesville provided a great challenge for you on Saturday night in what was really a good game.
It wasn't easy. They knocked us out last year, and I was, you know, we did an interview in the newspaper, and I talked about how there was a definite weight on our shoulders to kind of get it done this year, because we were the favorite, and we didn't get it done last year. And you know, when your team's the favorite, and that's a lot of pressure on these young men, and it can be a lot of pressure on coaches, and sometimes that can cause you to play tight and not play as free and not play the way that maybe you play the best. And I honestly think that weight's kind of lifted from us, and I think we'll have a great performance this Saturday. Our focus has been great in practice, and we've been working on things that I think will carry over to the game to this weekend.
Talking to Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy, what's the rest of the week look like if things continue? Regular practices, you try to keep normalcy no matter what is announced at noon by the IHSA, as long as the games are some on in some form or fashion. I assume that you have to get to work in practice, not only working on your opponent today, but also making sure players are focused and understand that, you know, whether there's 10,000 people there or 20, you still got to play the game and be focused.
Absolutely. Monday, after a tough weekend of games, we got a lot of shots up and did some skill development. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we went really, really hard like we would, the first couple weeks of the season. We just went hard and focused on specific things that I think will carry over, like I said, to this weekend. Today will be all scouting report, all film, maybe a few minutes on the court to walk through some of Northeast Du Bois sets and personnel, but be really focusing mentally today. And then tomorrow we get to go up to Ligoti and practice on the floor, get a lot of shots up and run through some of our sets and different things. But it's a different week, and like I said, a lot of details, a lot of distractions. But, I think I got a group of seniors that can commit and focus on the mental aspect, the mental side.
Steve Kerberg is with me. Steve, if you can, hang on. We're going to go past the noon mark. Douglas Scott Wilberton, our producer, monitoring the IHSA feed, and we are going to pretty quickly go to that as soon as I get word that that is up and ready to go. Doug, give me some notification when that does happen. But in the meantime, Steve, I think until we hear otherwise, we got a plan that the games will be played. Tell us about your Northeast Du Bois opponent this weekend that would be your first of potentially two games on Saturday.
Well, I think one advantage we may have is that they remind me a lot of the opponent we just played. They're very about the same size as Lanesville. They play three or four guards, and their guards are really good. So we have to really keep them in front of us and make them shoot over the top of us and not let them get into the paint and kick out for open threes. Got to limit them to one shot, and we've got to get the ball inside, and we've got to push the ball down the floor. And I like the fact that they're similar to our opponents, but, man, they have three guards that are really good, so we're going to have to be locked in and be in the gaps. And if we change defenses to know where the shooters are and to know where their best players are, but we've put in a lot of work learning about these guys and as a coaching staff, so now we have to get that information to our players.
Absolutely. Steve Kerberg is with me. We're talking about Christian Academy of Indiana. Coach, we always talk about the area when you're with me. This has been such a strong year for Southern Indiana basketball. Once again, four teams from our two-county area that we focus on going to regionals, two from Floyd County, you and 1A, Floyd Central, and 4A. As you look across the region, you've played a lot of these teams because you wanted a tough schedule. As you look across our area, what does that say about how good basketball is here and how important it is here?
Well, I heard Coach Miller talking about the teams in this area and the coaches in this area, and I concur. I mean, we knocked off Providence in a tough overtime game, and, man, they had a great season, and I respect Coach Miller so much. And Coach Sturgeon, what a season they've had also to get that sectional after a long time. He's done a great job up there, and they're a talented team.
Steve, I'm going to cut you off here for just a second.
Yes,
Doug, it looks like we've got the press conference live. Can you get to that? It looks like we've got it live. Steve, thank you. Good luck to Christian Academy this weekend. Stay safe, and as always, thanks for coming on with us, and good luck.
Thank you, sir.
And, again, we've got the press conference live, trying to get it up here with on so we can bring it to you. Bobby Cox is at the podium now, and I'm going to turn the audio on here on my computer.
Are strongly encouraged to refrain from attendance. This includes older adults and people who have serious chronic medical conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, and lung disease. Patrons who have purchased boys basketball regional tickets in advance from the 16 sites across the state may return those to the point of purchase for a refund. You must present your ticket to get a refund. Finally, the boys basketball state final tickets that have already been purchased by the public will be refunded by the IHSA. The association will make every attempt to stream and or broadcast each remaining game of the tournament prior to the state finals. Our traditional broadcast of the IHSA boys basketball state finals will be produced by the IHSA Champions Network and Fox Sports Indiana for our patrons to enjoy. At 2 p.m. today, our staff will conduct a teleconference with our participating schools and host sites to inform them of specific details surrounding the regional tournaments. In addition to what I've shared with you already, there are some additional considerations. The principal and athletic director shall screen eligible individuals from each participating school for entrance into the facility. The host site is encouraged to designate separate entrances for each school. There shall be no charge for the 75 admissions granted to each school. The host site should only have essential game personnel on site to work the contest. The association encourages social separation of fans throughout the facility, allowing those in attendance to spread out throughout the facility. There shall be no pre-game or post-game handshakes between teams, pep bands, dance teams, or any other spirit groups at the contests. We're also in the midst of our state gymnastics finals. The state gymnastics finals at Ball State University will be conducted as scheduled. Due to the large number of participants, essential staff to ensure the safety of our gymnasts, and the personnel necessary to adjudicate the event, there will be no spectator admissions to the state gymnastics finals. Individuals that have purchased tickets to the state finals in gymnastics may receive their refund from the IHSA. The state gymnastics finals will be streamed on IHSATV.org. The association, we acknowledge that these are unprecedented measures, and we're sympathetic to our loyal fans that support education-based athletics in our state. We appreciate your understanding and support during these challenging times. At this time, I'll take any questions that the media has. Just essential staff, no spectators at the gymnastics finals. What we're trying to do is achieve that number of about 250 people of a large gathering that's been established by the CDC. When you count up all the participants, all the judges, all the spotters, all the scorers, everybody that's going to be in that arena, we're already at 250 before we let the first person in. So we have banned spectators from the state gymnastics tournament.
So is that why the regulations are different from gymnastics?
Correct. You've got 12 players dressed. You've got a staff of bench personnel, including the coaches. We'll have an opportunity to let family members in.
Bobby, any venue changes planned whatsoever for the boys basketball
team? Not right now. No.
Are there any IHSA players that have tested positive?
Not to our knowledge, no.
Bobby, can you kind of provide a timeline as far as when this changed for you guys as far as the...
Well, we've been monitoring this situation for quite some time, even before the sectional began. And we've been in constant contact with various health groups and individuals to try to determine what was the best course of action. Throughout the last 48 hours, things have changed. Things in our community have changed, and things around the state have changed, things around the country have changed. So we're trying to stay up with that. We still want to provide our young people an opportunity to participate in the state finals in a tournament series event, but we do have to restrict it. So it's an ongoing process, but that's where we're at today.
So the NBA suspended its season, Big Ten tournament not happening anymore. So why did IHSAA decide to continue on with the tournament that had these restrictions?
Well, I think because, first of all, at the regional level, the last time I checked the Indiana Department of Health, 15 of our 16 sites have no confirmed cases in those counties. I feel pretty comfortable about the regionals. Now, this may change moving forward, but that's where we're at today, and we're going to contest the regional under these restricted conditions and our state championship at Ball State for gymnastics.
Can you just walk us through this screening process that you're asking school officials and administrators?
Sure. Well, we can't expect our host sites to know these 75 individuals that are going to come to the state championship. Our principals and athletic directors will know their folks. And so we're going to ask our principals and athletic directors, their designees, school administrators, to be at the event. And we're going to ask them to make sure that the people that are coming through, the 75 that are going to give we're going to give passes to, make sure that they are legitimate folks. It's going to be extremely disappointing to a lot of our patrons and fans to not be able to go to the state championships. But we do need to protect everybody that's there. And
I hate to say this, but there'll be people that'll try to sneak in. So we're going to lean on our principals and athletic directors to help us out with this.
Any idea what the economic impact is on this?
It's not good. I wish I could tell you it's not a big impact, but you know, I look back on our financial reporting for the last 3 years, and I suspect this will cost the association about $500,000.
Bobby, I know you're not a health official, but you did say that grandparents would be one of the people who could come to these games, and yet the age of grandparents is often sure. The very people that are being advised not to go out
right.
In public. Anything you would want to say about that?
I would just encourage you, like I said in my release, that if you're one of those individuals that's at a high risk, you should refrain from coming. We got some very healthy grandparents. And if they feel like they can attend, that would be great. If they fall within the limit of the 75 for the school, that's wonderful. But I think everybody needs to just take a little cursor of themselves. Not only elderly, but anybody who's been under the weather and doesn't feel well, they probably need to just stay home.
How do you think this will impact gameplay?
Well, you know, kids like to play in front of people. And I think that it'll impact the game. You know, it'll feel like a scrimmage. You're going to have a couple, you know, three officials out there, and you're going to have two teams sitting on a bench, but there aren't going to be many people in the gym. And I think it'll affect play. I don't think there's any doubt that it'll affect play. But at least they're getting to play right now.
Was there any thought to canceling the rest of the tournament?
Yeah, we discussed that as a staff, and we've decided at this point that that's not the direction we're going to go.
Could there be a tipping point to that?
It could very well be. If we receive different information from the Department of Health or other health organizations, we may make a determination that we need to do something different.
Could that also be any thought to postponing maybe or pushing back?
Well, we'd have to have that conversation with our executive committee and what would be acceptable for our membership. You know, we postponed the basketball tournament several years ago for weather. And we did it for a coal crisis back in the day, energy crisis. So it's not unprecedented that we would postpone it. It becomes a hardship on everybody when you do that. Can you get a venue? Where would it go? There are a lot of questions and logistics that would have to be answered, but it's certainly a possibility.
Bobby, you're kind of in a limbo period here at the end of your winter sports. Spring sports just starting. Any advice to schools as, you know, just as inter-school competitions begin in spring sports and other athletic activities?
Those questions have already been asked by many of our member schools. The member school contest, the regular season contest, are totally up to the member schools whether they want to contest those or not. As you may know, we've had a few schools in our state that have already suspended school and are going to come back after a spring break and an extended spring break. And we're going to let those schools determine whether they're going to compete. We will not suspend any of our health and safety rules respective of spring sports. For example, we have a 10 practice rule that all students must complete 10 separate days of practice before they participate in an interscholastic contest. We're not going to suspend that if the school decides to take 3 weeks off and then they've got a contest in 4 days. If they miss those practices, they're going to have to make those up. And if that's the case, the member schools then are going to have to reschedule those events. And they may have to cancel some events. And we'll work through that when we get to it. I'm hopeful that the virus will subside. I'm not real confident that that'll happen, but I'm hopeful that it will.
Just to clarify, Bobby, the next 2 weeks will proceed as you are with the regional this week with 75?
Right now, that's our plan.
Okay.
If we can get through this week and we feel confident that we can move forward, we'll do the semi-state the same way. And we'll have 75 approved individuals that will come into the event arena and follow their team. We're still in discussions about what that might look like, yes.
suggested that you would like to say?
I think just general advice is, wash your hands, cover your mouth, do all the things that the health department tells you to do with any kind of illness that's out there. Be cognizant. If you see something, say something. You know, if you know somebody's struggling, get to a doctor, find out what's going on. If it's just a little sniffle, it might not be just a little sniffle. So get out there and get yourself covered.
Bobby, you're headed toward retirement. Have you ever dealt with anything like this?
No, I haven't. This is unprecedented. We've postponed because of weather, and we've postponed because of energy crisis, and we've postponed for other things, but never for a health pandemic of this nature. And jokingly, somebody said, can you make it to August 1st? I said, I'm not sure I can make it to 5 o'clock.
Were there no cancellations for swine flu in 2009?
Pardon me?
Were there no cancellations or suspensions for swine flu in 2009?
Not that I'm aware of, no. Other questions? All right. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.